welcome back to the Ruthless Aggression Podcast. We kind of lied and said that we were going to be doing this last week, but a few things interrupted us, so we're back here. Pierce is not with us right now. He's made his move to Philadelphia. He will be joining us next week.
Yes.
We'll be sure to have a good show to welcome him back into the fray, because it's probably going to partake after Crown Jewel happens, which, of course, is next Thursday on Peacock. As you are all well aware, we have two weeks to catch up here, including a pay-per-view, Raw Homecoming, and two exciting SmackDowns. So this is a super-sized edition of the Ruthless Aggression Podcast right here on the Barber Share Network. I'm Chris, joined, of course, by Rob. And it's a super-sized show, so I suppose we'll talk about the super-sized SmackDown that's occurring either tonight, or it may have happened already by the time you listen to it. Who knows? Who's to say? But it'll be in... interesting episode. It's moving to FS1 because of Game 1 of the American League Championship Series, featuring two teams who I truly hope step on a bunch of nails on the way to the game. Those, of course, being the Astros and the Red Sox. Go whoever is in the NL. I don't care. That's just me personally, though. So, Rob, the SmackDown has your fave, Brock, showing up, which is, I think, a big deal. Going into Crown Jewel, of course. It features the King of the Ring and Queen's Crown semifinals on the SmackDown side. So Finn Balor's facing Sami Zayn, while Carmella is facing Zelina Vega. More on that later. And it's probably going to be main evented by Becky Lynch again, taking on Sasha Banks. So a lot of big things happening on this show.
Yeah, that last part is supposedly commercial-free as well. So that's exciting if you can't get into TV matches because of commercials, which, you know, whatever it is, what it is. Yeah, I mean, it should be a good SmackDown. You know, it's cool when Brock shows up just because, you know, I still think of when he was there, you know, 20 years ago. Just kind of always feels like he's a SmackDown guy through and through. Yeah, it should be exciting. You know, it's an exciting weekend for wrestling in general. You know, of the matches that have been announced across, you know, SmackDown and AEW, there's, you know, 6 or 7 good matches that I'm looking forward to watching. And that's kind of why a lot of this stuff has been kind of dumb and played out, too, where, you know, it kind of is what it is. You know, people taking shots. And, you know, I don't have a problem with the companies doing it. It's stupid when the fans do it, but, you know. Should be a good show overall, though. You know, I saw a lot of people concerned that, oh, they're doing Becky and Sasha when they could be saving that, but I think we've kind of established that there's no use saving anything anymore at this point.
Also,
put your best matches on when you can.
Save that for what? They did it 2 years ago.
That's the other thing, too.
And they did it a bunch of times in 2015, 2016, and 2014, and they've grown up with each other facing each other. The only protected match between that quartet is one we can't see until one of them comes back from injury anyway.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, and I think, like...
Please, anyone who's saying that, spare me at this point.
And again, I think, like, the save it for a big pay-per-view or whatever mentality is kind of played out, too. Like, more people watch TV than the pay-per-views by a wide margin. And, I mean, I think that's kind of how it's always been, to be honest with you. Obviously, TV's a bigger draw than pay-per-view, but, you know, you want to save big things for the pay-per-view, I get that, but it's not like they also have a pay-per-view coming up where they can just, you know, run Becky and Sasha straight up because, you know, Bianca's involved next week, so it kind of is what it is. Like, I don't get the, you know, getting upset that they're showing you a good match, like, when you really boil it down.
Because people are stupid.
Like,
okay?
Especially,
people are dumb.
Especially now, though, where, like, TV to pay-per-view is just switching the app on your television.
Yeah.
Like, there's less, I think, of a divide than ever before just because of how many people, you know, don't have cable and traditional pay-per-view anymore.
Well, I think also the problem is the fact that a lot of the wrestling media still holds on to TV ratings like they mean everything. And it's just outdated. Every other medium has accepted the fact that there are other ways to go about this. Like,
yeah, and I think
you don't have... this just dates back to all that. It's just archaic.
And I think
they haven't evolved.
No, and I think, like, the networks do still care about ratings and
they do. It's just
speed.
There's...
but the thing about, like, and I don't know that people really realize this, the thing about Nielsen ratings is not everyone has a Nielsen box. Like, I wish, you know, if you have, you know,
it gives us
DirecTV,
yeah.
If you have DirecTV Stream or YouTube TV, I don't think those are accounted for the Nielsen ratings. And that's a lot of people that you're, you know, leaving behind. So, yeah, the ratings talk... gets to be a bit much sometimes. But yeah, overall, I mean, I think SmackDown should be very good. Should be a lot of fun. Yeah, looking forward to it.
I would have looked forward to it a lot more if... I guess we might as well begin with this.
Yeah, you're upset about Queen's Crown, and I think you have right to be.
Look,
for many reasons.
Look, I think there's a couple of things here that I really think are kind of important to say. First things first, like 99% of the time, anyone breaking out the stopwatch and tracking how long matches are and whatnot, like, I'm not concerned about that. I'm more concerned about how you get from point A to point B. All right? So that's whatever. This falls in that 1% where I think it's a bad look, and I'll say it for this reason. It's well established that there's obviously a hierarchy in WWE when it comes to the women. I mean, you don't have to look too hard at it. Everyone knows who the important players are, and everyone knows who are in the mid card. The problem becomes when you want to shine a light on the mid card, and then you don't give the opportunity to them to shine on, to shine with.
Yeah.
That I think was by far the biggest misstep one of the biggest missteps when it comes to this Queen's Crown tournament among several. So it's like, to me, there's really no excuse for the fact that the longest match in the tournament was like 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I'm not even saying that everything has to be a 10 to 15 minute epic. I'm not asking for 10 minutes. In this case, I'm just asking for 5.
Yeah.
Why can't they go 5? Like the two matches on SmackDown with Zelina against Tony and Liv against Carmella, they went a combined like 4 minutes. What exactly is the point of that? Because really, when you break it down, you have Carmella, who, you know, you can say whatever you want about her. I've had my comments about her, you know, her character, whether I think she's one note or whatever. She's a good, reliable worker whose leash in 2021 should not be so short, in my opinion. You have Liv, who, yeah, I think that she's still a work in progress, ultimately, but she's popular. She can definitely move around the ring. She's proven as much. And if you were giving her Carmella, you're giving her a reliable worker.
Yeah.
Why are you having their match be 2 minutes? Then Zelina and Tony, it's the same thing. I know, the main audience may not know how good Tony Storm is. But that's why you give the opportunity to her. That's why you give a spotlight longer than 2 minutes and change or whatever it was for that. And Zelina can obviously go and hold her own. So again, what is the problem here? Where is the issue? Because if it's trust, I feel like you're not going to get anywhere, because at this point, the floor for the ability for the women in terms of purely in-ring has been increased. And it will continue to increase as long as the NXT pipeline still exists, which I know it does.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's like, if not now, when? And the thing about Raw is, like, I would have been okay if Shayna versus Dana was short. It has no reason going long. But the effect that Shayna has in destroying Dana in like a minute and 13 or whatever is watered down by the fact that the previous two matches didn't go 3 minutes either.
Yeah.
So if you had the other ones go at least 5, it would be like, oh, wow, she looked dominant. Now it's just like, oh, a short match? That must be because they don't care for the women. And Natty Doudrop was the longest match at 3 minutes, which again, I figured they had to go at least somewhat long for that, because otherwise the optics would have been terrible. Mm. Not that I think they care, but again, the longest match was 3 minutes. Why? And if you're going to not, and lastly, really, this I think is the point that needs to be driven home and whatnot. If you're going to have this be the way that you carry it out, where you have these matches only be for 3 minutes at max, because maybe you don't trust them, don't play in my face.
Mm-hmm.
Put the people you trust in the tournament then. Okay? Don't play in my face and don't be like, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to give this great opportunity to some women who are, you know, underrepresented on TV lately and whatnot. I've been getting the shaft, and all four of the women on SmackDown, it's the same thing since they got their match, you know, axed at the MSG SmackDown. It's like, What is the point here? Where is your end game here? Because I don't know. I don't get it. And I think that they completely zapped all the interest in the tournament that I had on Friday with those two matches, and the one bad decision of not having Liv beat Carmelo. Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, that was the plan.
For what?
That was the plan, but they changed it.
Why? Yeah. Why? Why are you changing that? There's no reason to. Mm-hmm. The only reason that you could possibly change that is if Liv didn't want to go to Saudi, but it's like, I could be transparent about that. And that's another thing. If they're going to do that also, have that be the interruption, don't do it around then. I don't care. Like, you don't have to. Do it at a different time of year than when you can play with a full deck.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really the other thing. Like, if you're going to do this, you know, tournament where you're going to make it, like, this whole big thing, and it's the first one you do want to probably, you know...
Set a fucking standard!
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't really get that. I don't understand what the point of all this is.
The point, obviously, is going to be to crown Shayna, but it's like, you can still do that by having competitive matches along the way.
Yeah. No, exactly.
It's obvious that it's obviously going to lead to but obvious, but nothing's obvious, because I thought it was obvious that Liv was going to be in the finals, and she wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand. This was just a whiff to me. It was a total whiff, and I think that, again, this was something that people were legitimately excited for.
Yeah.
And on Friday, the balloons were popped, one after another.
Yeah, it's not ideal on the first night of your tournament to just kill all interest in it either.
Which I think they did.
Yeah.
I genuinely think that they did.
Yeah.
And I know we're in our own little Twitter bubbles, but I can't imagine there was a lot of interest.
No, and I think another thing
And the other worst thing is that, like, you had the short matches and think, oh, okay, it's SmackDown. I guess I get it. It's a shorter show. Same fucking thing happened on Raw.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, this feels like it could have been a time where you debut Io or Dakota and you know, have them win the whole thing. And that makes a star right there, pretty much. Like, you do that if you want to bring one of them up. It seems like Dakota's, you know, sticking with NXT now, which, you know, think what you will about that.
I don't know, because I can say, okay, she was going to be a mid-carder, and look how they're treating the mid-carder.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, they do so many things where, like, if they just gave 25% more effort, they'd be very good. And, yeah, I don't want to... this is clearly not the podcast where we're like, WWE sucks. We are...
obviously not.
We are easier on them than most people. And, you know, that is what it is. But, like, why is this just a two-week thing, too? Like, why are both tournaments just eight people? Why don't you make this a bigger thing? Why don't you draw it out? You fill TV time easier. You know, you have chances to put on matches that people haven't seen before. Why are you half-assing it? King of the Ring should be slam dunk.
Yeah.
And so should Queen's Crown by that logic. And it's just not. They don't go all in on it. I don't get why.
I don't get why you wouldn't either. Like you said, it could be, you know, you could stretch this out. They stretched it out. They did this really well 2 years ago. You can say whatever you want. They did this really well 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because they gave them time. The matches from it were great.
Yeah.
The final with Gable and Corbin was great.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it. It was legitimately great. So were the matches at the Garden the previous week.
Yeah. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand why you can't just kind of give things some more time. And, yeah, it's not ideal. I mean, I guess we'll see. What's the best possible matchup? Carmella against Shayna?
That's it. Like, really? Come on, man.
Yeah.
At least, but it's just like, and just from a basic perspective, like, heel versus heel does nothing for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you making that happen?
Yeah, well, and then, like, another strange thing, just kind of, we'll get into the draft a little bit, I guess, in a moment, but, like, you know, they've done a good job with Shayna the past month or whatever, building her back up, right? I have no problem with that. You know, she can be a top heel. But then you put her on SmackDown with Charlotte and Sasha, both of whom are not going to be faces, barring something unforeseen and
unfortunate.
Stupid. Yeah.
I would call it unfortunate.
So I don't know why you'd put Shayna there. That doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
The only thing that I can say about Shayna is that I guess she hasn't really made a significant impact on SmackDown in the year and a half that she's been around, so I guess I get that from that logic of having her switch shows, but you didn't need to do it.
No. I don't know. Like, again, it goes back to there's so many things that if they just gave, you know, 25% more effort.
But I think the problem is I can mostly say this about the women, and the men don't really have anything bad happen to them.
I mean, they're not doing Kofi against Woods.
But they don't have to.
No.
They don't have to do that. People wanted to see it, but they don't have to do that.
They seem to maybe understand that people want to see Woods either in the final or win it. I mean, we'll see what happens Monday when he faces Jinder.
I'm sure he'll win.
Yeah. I mean, if he doesn't, like, you know, Jinder and I would imagine Finn will be a good match. Like, we can agree Finn's probably winning on the other side for, you know.
Finn's probably winning the whole thing. In my opinion.
Yeah.
I think he's probably winning the whole thing.
That's fair. Yeah, I don't know. It's frustrating because it doesn't need to be like this.
I think that this might be somewhat overreactive, but damn, it's a terrible time to be a women's wrestling fan unless you follow Stardom, which I have been, by the way. And if anyone is out there listening, watch Stardom. It's good shit. I'm telling you that right now. I don't talk about it. I haven't talked about it a lot, but I've been getting into it. Watch Stardom. Follow Stardom. It's good shit.
Yeah.
Immensely entertaining. And it's, you know, no frills, no other shit. Like, you know, they do angles and storylines and whatnot, but, like, their shows and their matches, they bang.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, Ring of Honor is getting a little bit better with the women's division they as well. So,
yeah,
you know,
they are. They're making strides.
Impact is apparently good. They got the Inspiration coming in, who will probably win the tag titles their first night in, which they should. I mean, that's not a bad decision.
It's not a terrible decision. There's worse ideas out there, for sure.
But yeah, man, I just, WWE and AEW just need to do a better job with this whole
Significantly.
Thing.
Significantly.
And, you know, just going back, you know, you talked about how SmackDown, the two women's matches went like 5 minutes, then you roll into Rampage and, you know, Jade Cargill faces Sky Blue and it's like 90 seconds. That's their only women's match. And, I mean, that match didn't need to go long.
That
that's
didn't need to go long,
squash,
but it's
but,
just
like,
it's
the optics,
exactly.
You know?
It's the optics.
If you watch 3 hours of wrestling on Friday night.
6 minutes of it was dedicated to women's wrestling.
Yeah, so it's like,
besides the opening segment of SmackDown with the contract signing.
Yeah. And
that's the other thing. It's like, they're getting other things right. So it's like, I know you can do it. I mm-hmm. know you can care. But I think, okay. So this has sort of been a thought I've had. And, you know, this has sort of been sort of something that I've theorized or whatever. Would you be okay if each week on the main TV programs, Raw and SmackDown, even with Dynamite too, if the main players have their, you know, their fun in the sun, but they switch out and rotate with the rest? Like, for instance, every week on SmackDown, you're assured to have a Corbin segment, you're assured to have something with the Mysterios, and you're not so sure about the mid-card women. I shouldn't have to, personally speaking, just as a fan, I shouldn't have to, like, worry as a fan of Toni Storm, whether or not that she's going to even get a second on TV. But I can know that for whatever reason, they're going to continue to do Rey and Dominik every single week without fail. If in my world, I know it would take a lot of buying in, but I would just rotate out these mid-card pieces every other week or so, or every couple weeks, so that everyone can get their fair share. I would be okay. I can live without seeing a Rey Dom storyline advancement. Do a video package 1 week in place of that if you want to keep everything in mind. And I get it. If you're out of sight, you're out of mind, then that's never a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure people know who you are and know what's going on. But if you subbed out a Rey Dom match for something with the mid-card women on SmackDown every week, and I know now they're on Raw, so basically it's the same logic, I'd be okay with that. I would. I genuinely would. And I think that by and large, the viewing audience probably would at some point also, because you can have your main players run around every week if they're the ratings getters, but just switch out the supporting cast every now and then. Like, why do we have to have, you know, basically the soap opera with Rey and Dom that's obviously leading to Dom turning heel? Why does that have to take up so much time? Why does Dom or Rey have to have a match every week?
Yeah.
But the women of the mid-card who, by the way, in some cases, are your future pillars of your division that you need to pay attention to, because otherwise, when Sundown soon happens for the previous era, you're going to be screwed. Mm-hmm. And I think I know we say that all the time for the men or whatever, but let's face it. There's more males, male wrestlers and men's wrestlers to compensate for certain losses than there are women, just based on the fact that they're more visible.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're not wrong. I mean, I wouldn't probably use Rey as a specific example because he's, you know, one of the best TV match guys they have.
I agree, but I don't need to see a Dom match every week.
No, I get what they're going for.
They're going for. It's not required. If he needs that much seasoning, put him down in Florida and get him working in NXT.
Well, I think it's too late for that now. Like,
it's never too late. If they can send Mandy Rose down there and she can be almost immediately looking better than she's really ever looked, they can do that with Dom.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
They can. They can absolutely do that with Dom, too. And again, it's a two-hour show. Time is at a premium. And, you know, not everyone is going to be willing to make sacrifices, but try and find a balance with your mid-card. That's all that I'm asking. Just a balance with the mid-card stuff. Like I said, I don't need to see the mid-card women, current mid-card women of SmackDown, and the eventual mid-card women of SmackDown after the draft takes hold get like 20 minutes a night. I'm not asking for that. Just rotate guys and girls out every week. It's fine.
Yeah.
Keep the focus. Again, do video packages to keep people interested and invested. It's not hard to do that. They're great at video packages. Just fucking make one.
Yeah, and I think that's something I think that AEW does well.
They genuinely do.
Like, very rarely do they have the same people in the main event, like, twice in 1 week or twice in a month. At least on Dynamite. Like, Rampage, you know, they'll have the same group of people working, but yeah. And they do a good job with that.
Granted, they shouldn't have someone like Sheeta on the sideline for 4 months.
No, I agree with that.
I think they do genuinely do a good job of rotating people out so that people stay, so that while people stay fresh, they aren't, like, super overexposed, although I think what they're doing with Punk is questionable, but I'm probably the only person who thinks that in the world, so.
Yeah, I mean, no, I get it, but.
For me, it's the Sting thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to hear from him every week and have him cut the same promo.
Well, the thing is, like,
But if he's in the building, try and find a more creative way to use him.
Yes.
Not just, oh, he's going to be on commentary this week. Oh, we're going to have an interview with Tony Schiavone or whatever. Like, you don't have to do that.
No, I mean.
Have him be like, why can't he just be, like, up in the crowd or something? Yeah. Watching. And someone goes and interviews him while he's doing that. That would be different. He's a man of the people, right?
Mm.
Have him be among the people. There. Yeah. Free idea for you.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean...
This is just a last word here. I want a refund from everyone who said that wrestling would be more fun a couple months ago. Because now I'm not having fun. Mm. I'm not.
I mean...
Yeah. I'm genuinely, but honestly, the last, like, 3 or 4 shows of wrestling that I've watched, they've all bored the hell out of me.
Yeah, it's probably not.
Or I've been tuned out.
It's probably not good. Like, you know, we'll get into Crown Jewel in a little bit. I'm excited for Brock and Roman, but, like, I don't know. I would also just like to be past it. I've talked about that since SummerSlam, where I'm worried about what's going to happen because, you know, Brock winning the title doesn't do anything for anybody. I don't know, man. You know, it's... I don't want to be like, this is always a down period for them, because it's really not. It shouldn't have down periods, but, you know, at the same time, we spent a decent amount of money on Royal Rumble tickets yesterday, so...
Well, we know what we're getting. The Rumble is the Rumble.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know.
You're guaranteed to have fun at a Rumble.
Like, would I go to Raw or SmackDown right now? I mean, yeah, still probably, just because it's close enough, but...
Maybe.
You know. Yeah, I don't know, it's... It's been a bit of a... You know, you thought things when fans came back would just...
They were for a while.
Yeah.
But now they're just... They're caught in a lull.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Yeah,
it is. But they're caught in a lull.
Yeah. We got Halloween Havoc coming up. That's not yet. It's a couple...
No, but all I have to say is... I never thought I would say this. Please give Mandy that title. Please.
I mean, they have
Please.
To, man. Like...
Please! I beg. I literally beg at this point. Please.
Yeah, I don't know what a title reign looks like, but yeah, this Raquel stuff's not doing anything for anyone.
She's out of place, man.
Yeah.
She's out of place. And I get that it's developmental, but like, again, it's another thing where you see people around who are more skilled and whatnot. I know that doesn't mean everything, but like, it's just a different era now.
Yeah.
Maybe she succeeds like 2 decades before. Now... When you see all these women and all that they're doing and whatnot, how skilled and talented all they are, someone like her who's just bare bones just does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I can't believe Mandy lapped her, but she did. That's nuts.
Yeah.
She's only been there for, what, like 2 months?
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean...
Also, Raquel's title reign somehow has gone on for 6 months.
It's terrible. Sorry to hear that.
It might be... I don't want to say it might be worse than Cross's, but...
Nah, they're both bad.
At least Cross had decent matches.
That's true.
I mean, besides the EO match, Raquel really hasn't done much of anything. I don't want to turn this into a bat roast session, but, like, yeah. I mean, my God, like... You know, there's a problem. You should probably do something about it.
Yeah. What else? Do we want to talk about the draft? I mean, we kind of talked about it a little bit.
You know, my thing going into the draft, like I said, was who are going to be the call-ups, and I got like none of them right.
Yeah, Austin Theory, which.
Well, Theory was bound for it anyway.
WrestleMania match.
I could have told you that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But like, where's Dakota? Where's EO? Why is she still there?
Well, Dakota seems to be going back to...
I don't know that for sure, though.
She's in the Halloween Havoc video. She's narrating it or something.
No, what happened was she... But, like, they've thrown people off the scent. It's like how Woods was the voice of the messenger.
It's true.
I mean, I'll be disappointed. I mean, but like I said, you know, I can't look at... I can look and say also, okay, whatever, mid-card women in WWE are stuck between a rock and a hard place. So, it's yeah. Like, hey... The only, yeah. I mean, really, once again, the only brand that seems to know what the hell they're doing with women is NXT, but they have Raquel as their champion, so yeah. It's not perfect.
Exactly.
And for that creator wrestler next to Io Shirai is the champion, or tag team champion.
Yeah, you know, Hit-Ro got called up, that's cool.
Shout out to them. I was wrong, but in hindsight, cool. I'm glad for them, I'm happy for them, I hope they succeed on SmackDown. I genuinely do.
A lot of discourse about AJ Francis... The past day and a half at this point.
Well, he unfortunately was too online, and he kind of was like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you spend on shoes or whatever. It's like, just pull back. You had it.
Yeah.
You
had it. I don't know.
You had it, dude. Just be...
That whole thing has been a mess. I don't know. Like, it's hard to get too caught up in that. Like, who cares, you know?
Really, who cares?
Like, all the stuff Tony Khan's been saying this week, who cares? At the end of the day, like, yeah, he's kind of a dork, but who cares? Does it matter? Like, ultimately, and this is why I don't like to talk about wrestling when it's not actually on, you know, outside of something like this.
I feel that, yeah.
Shout
out to Hit Row, shout out to Swerve. Speaking of Swerve, we have a new North American champion.
Yes.
Carmelo Hayes, who... And I thought they executed that brilliantly, for the record. I thought Hayes and Trick coming out, attacking Legado del Fantasma, seeming to be on his side, and then you know, taking him out when the rest of Hit Row wasn't around, and Hayes, you know, never misses.
Yeah.
He didn't miss there, so that's cool. That's
a lot of people were like, oh, we didn't know it was a Money in the Bank thing. I think that first promo with Trick, he kind of alluded to it.
He implied it, but yeah. Also it's an open contract. It can be signed whenever. Mm-hmm. The precedent for that has also been set. When Roman joined the triple threat match at Payback last year. So,
yeah.
Our tribal chief set the standard. Acknowledge him.
Yes.
There. I know, I'm sure that will pop some people, so there you go. Draft. Hit Row. Rich Holland is also going up. That I find really interesting. I wonder how they're going to write him off on Tuesday.
Yeah, I don't know what that means for Pete Dunne.
I don't know what that means for Pete Dunne.
I'm a little worried because he signed an extension and immediately got, like, thrown back into the... back burner, but maybe if you're going to go Bron Breakker against Pete Dunne, there's something there. I think those two could have a decent program.
But I honestly wonder if they're going to pull the trigger immediately. I don't think they have to.
Yeah.
But anyways, other people who are drafted. Zia Lee, that's cool, obviously.
Yep.
Drake
Maverick is back on
Raw. Drake Maverick's back on Raw, correct.
I don't know what he's going to do there, but cool. God bless him. Aaliyah finally got officially...
Yeah, she finally officially got called up. Good for her. But I don't really have like a much of an issue with like the draftees or whatever wherever they're going.
I guess Mia Yim is on Raw after spending the past few months on SmackDown, technically.
But of course, she might have been, of course, taking care of Keith and whatnot.
He's been back for 3 months now.
I'm just saying.
Raw drafted Gable Stevenson. That was interesting. A lot of people are upset about that. Which,
the time will come when we need to discuss that.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, and we won't get super into it. Like, if you know, you know. Like, there are reasons to be upset about him being around in general. But the reasons people were upset were like, oh, he's just skipping developmental. And it's like, yeah, he'll probably be fine. Like, apparently they're...
Also, they're going to be training him over the next year. He's not immediately going to show up on Raw.
Yeah, exactly. He's still wrestling for Minnesota this year.
The reason that they did that was to get the headlines.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's just what they're interested in doing.
Yes.
Like, that's a pure business move. It's a purely out of business and to get attention from the sports sites, the sports networks, etc., because he's an Olympic gold medalist. And also, another underlying reason, who runs USA Network?
NBC.
NBC.
Yes.
Where are the Olympics? NBC. Yep. There you go. Boom. Right there. It's all right there. That's why that happened. I understand why people were mad, but that... You can be mad at something, but also understand it.
Yeah.
That's like my biggest mantra, I feel like, when I approach anything in wrestling or anything in general. It's just like, I know why you're mad, but here's what happened.
Yeah. Let's see. People that jump show Charlotte from Raw to SmackDown, Bianca from SmackDown to Raw. Which...
I don't mind it because it continues Becky and Bianca, which is as it should.
Yeah.
Bianca going somewhere while... Becky staying on SmackDown with Sasha and then would have been a huge mistake.
Drew to SmackDown, which I think we
everyone
all saw coming.
Expected that. Everyone saw that coming. You know what's going to happen. You want to be upset about it. Whatever.
New Day to SmackDown is kind of a bummer, but...
It's kind of a bummer, but at the same time, you know, they can do whatever they want with them.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to see either member of New Day face Roman for the two January pay-per-views.
That would be cool. I would be down for Roman, Kofi.
No TLC this year, by the way.
No TLC. You
Which
know what?
Kind of had to figure.
Because they were doing the pay-per-view at the beginning of...
Well, because they're doing one at the beginning of January and then one at the end of January because January is 5 weeks this year. Or five Sundays.
And you have to also remember back when, in the Ruthless Aggression era, they would have these pay-per-views, but they would be single brand.
Yes.
They don't do them anymore.
Yeah.
And so I mean, this isn't like a situation where you had Armageddon, New Year's Revolution, and the Rumble happening three times in the span of like 6 or 7 weeks.
Also,
what we're going to encounter, by the way.
Also, gimmick pay-per-views are stupid anyway.
They are. So. I'm totally fine with just getting rid of them.
Like, yeah.
As evident by the nonsense that was Extreme Rules.
If you wanted to do, you know, Roman against Jeff at TLC and have, you know, Jeff have one last shot in a TLC match, that's fine. Just do it at day one. Who cares?
Yeah, just do it at day one. Doesn't matter.
I want to see Roman and Shinsuke, but, you know, Roman against either member of the New Day would be a fine one, too. Who else jumped? Edge from SmackDown to Raw, which... You know, that one was pretty evident was going to happen as well. Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio to Raw. Jeff Hardy from Raw to SmackDown. That one was a little surprising. And then we had Gable and Otis went to Raw. Apollo and Aziz went to Raw, which, you know.
I'm fine with. They needed to move. They needed to move.
Yeah.
They did everything and they faced everyone on SmackDown. So they either he or Shinsuke needed to move.
Drew Gulak is back on SmackDown, which
cool.
is kind of interesting because, you know, when he was on SmackDown, I don't know how much of it was Brian's influence. You know, he had a pay-per-view match.
He did.
That was very good.
Yes.
the last show with fans for
yeah.
a long time.
Yeah.
Mace, Mansoor, and Mustafa are on SmackDown now. The latter two who will be facing off this week.
Mm-hmm.
Zelina's on Raw now. Which, you know, that's fair.
Yeah, so is Carmella. Gee, I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so is Liv.
And that's kind of part of my thing, is they're just going to continue a lot of these feuds instead of doing new ones, which is a bummer. Becky Lynch is on Raw now.
Cool.
Yeah, not like a huge surprise, I don't think.
No, not really. And then I mean, I guess the bigger surprise is that Fox was able to... lose out on her, like, three times.
Seth Rollins on Raw, which I think I told you 4 months ago was going to happen.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Sheamus on SmackDown, that's another guy that Roman could face. I know that the same alliance.
Hey, you know who else is on SmackDown? Cesaro. Get the bar back together.
I mean, they're both above that, though.
That's no, they're not. Cesaro's the greatest tag team wrestler of the 21st century. He's not above that. And the bar is one of the best tag teams of this generation, too. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Fucking put them back together. Because you have them, you have the Usos, you have the New Day. Get it cracking there.
Yeah,
man, like the match. You have a bunch of good tag teams on SmackDown now.
Yeah.
A bunch of them.
We talked about Shayna moving. Kevin Owens going from SmackDown to Raw. Is he waits out the end of his sentence here. Am I right?
No.
Am I right?
No.
Every time.
He's the same guy. He's always been.
Every time he's on screen, we have to analyze everything he does. Make narratives about it. Street Profits are going to Raw, obviously. They considered splitting them up. I'm glad they didn't because, you know, I like Montez as a single, but I don't know what it would mean.
I think Doc has gotten a lot better.
He's gotten better.
I think he can hold his own. It's not time yet, but that clock is ticking, and you know what? Fine. So be it. I think Doc has gotten much better. I think he'll be able to handle his own a bit more than you think.
Viking Raiders went to SmackDown. Garza and Carrillo went to SmackDown. Ricochet went to SmackDown, which I think is kind of interesting. I mean, because, you know, say what you want about Ricochet. He's a guy that they can do something with if they really want to. They can't talk. Who cares? I mean,
it obviously should matter. Because they have a bunch of guys who can wrestle.
Mm.
And a bunch of guys who can do a lot.
A bunch of guys who can do flips and stuff, though, like that.
So what? Also, people have seen the flips all the time. You think you think a high spot matters in 2021 anymore?
Well, that's fair.
How much have those lines been blurred?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Finn Balor's back on Raw. That's cool.
I'm fine with that.
Dirty Dogs are on Raw now. They're a good team. I like them.
I like them too.
Jinder and Shanky are separated from Veer now, going to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Liv Morgan's going from SmackDown to Raw. Tamina and Tegan Nox are going from SmackDown to Raw. And those were all the people that switched shows. They broke up Tegan and Shotzi. See how that goes. I mean, they're both good. I just don't know how it's going to go.
I don't know.
Creatively.
I don't know.
But, you know, trying to figure out the women's division is tough.
Extremely.
And then, a lot of free agents for when they come back, if they come back. Just kind of looking.
Yeah, I find it hilarious that Eva is a free agent. They seemingly don't know what to do. Boy, who could have seen that one?
Yeah, it feels like they had, you know, the one feud for her, and then the Alexa stuff, and that's it.
Again, you know why this, and this is just a side conversation here, we'll be getting down to business with the 05 stuff, but I think the biggest misstep they made with Eva is the fact that they didn't realize that a lot of the fan base has moved on.
Yeah.
There was a threat of someone like Eva winning a women's championship back in 2015 and 2016 because we weren't so far deviated from the era, from the Divas era or whatever. And that's, again, it's not to bash the women themselves.
No.
But more so the creative choices and the people that they decided to put center stage. Now, in 2021, nobody cares about that anymore.
No,
and nobody is worried anymore.
Like, here's the thing, too. And I don't want to have this come off the wrong way, but Eva's thing has always kind of been like, oh, she's attractive. Well, now you're in a situation
in that company is absolutely gorgeous and out of their minds.
And that's been the case forever.
Of course,
but
yeah.
The difference is now that, you know, they can actually work, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And she can't.
But also, Eva's thing was also that she couldn't fucking work either.
Yeah. So, I mean...
I remember the tweet saying, oh, she's just going to be a troll, this, that, blah, blah, blah. She's going to troll the audience. Hey, here's the other thing that I want to try and make clear to people once again, because so far, 3 months in, I've yet to be wrong about this. The crowds have changed.
Yeah.
The people who were vocal back years ago have now gone to AEW shows and stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, WWE still has millions of fans to appease to, and then they go to the shows instead.
Yeah.
And you get more crowds that actually play by the quote-unquote rules.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep saying that until I'm blue in the face. How many smart cities do we have to go to before people realize these are different crowds now? Like, you tell me, I wasn't watching because I was out that night. How was the Philly crowd on SmackDown when they were in Philly? Were they hostile?
No, I mean, I don't remember anything specifically.
But that's the point. You can remember past Philly crowds, though.
Yeah.
Remember the crowd at Extreme Rules in 2019?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the crowd at the Rumble in 2015?
Yep.
My point exactly. The Chicago crowd, Rosemont crowd, sorry. I should know better in front of you. Back in August, were they that bad? Besides for the Lashley Goldberg stuff?
No.
And the, like, 10 seconds that they chanted, "We want Wyatt"? No. The crowd at the Garden, were they like that? Hell no. That was one of the best atmospheres I've been in ever. These are different crowds, people. Your worries and your, you know, about how crowds are going to take to certain people, they're probably going to end up being wrong. I'm just letting you know. Unless you're carrying cross, then you will get no reaction.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
I had to throw that out.
Yeah.
Also, you didn't mention Natty going to SmackDown.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Stealing the fake that Tony Storm's definitely tapping out to 2 sharpshooters by March.
All right. Let's talk about Crown Jewel because it's next week. You know, we're not going to get into the whole they shouldn't be running Saudi shows. We know this is like the 4th one of these we've done now. You know what it is. Like,
you know.
You know, watch it or don't. Yeah,
I might even include, you know what? Given the fact that we're not going to get a nonsense battle royal, it doesn't look like in the show, I might even count this in the top 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm aiming to have another show come up next Saturday.
Wow.
So.
All right. Let's get into it. We got Mansoor against Mustafa Ali.
Mansoor has an Undertaker-like streak in Saudi. He's not losing there.
Nope. We'll go Zelina or Carmella against Shayna or Doudrop. I think we agreed it'll be
Shayna.
Carmella against Shayna.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have Shayna win, you know? There are certain, you know, social things at play here, given where they're going to be, that may lead to, you know, Doudrop winning and Shayna not going. I don't know, you know.
Well, the things that you mentioned also fall under Doudrop's category,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so it's, so. You know, I would go Shayna. Like, if we're removing all of that,
mm-hmm.
I would go Shayna.
The
King of the Ring tournament final, Sami Zayn or Finn Balor. I think it's safe to say it's going to be Finn. Just
yeah.
Because, I mean, he's got the momentum, but also Sami has never gone to one of these shows.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Against Jinder or Woods.
It will be Finn versus Woods. My prediction is that Finn is going to win, and throughout the course of the match, even if Woods does win, Finn's going to end up turning heel, and he's going to have next for E at some point.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Would you like to know the betting odds for these matches that we know so far, so not the King of the Ring ones?
Sure.
Mansoor is -1,000.
That's hilarious.
So that makes sense. let's see. Where do we want to go next? I guess we'll go with Lashley and Goldberg. Goldberg has said repeatedly that he's going to kill him, which is not something you usually say on WWE television.
Not usually something you say, no, but I think Goldberg's actually going to win this one.
I do, too.
It may piss people off, but I think Goldberg's
going to
win.
Well, who cares? This is how you should use Goldberg. Don't put him in title matches.
Of course, yeah. I'm not disagreeing. And also, I'm just saying that, like, Lashley's the big bad heel in this case, and he went after his son, and the babyface, even if you don't like him, comes out on top.
It's no holds barred, so, like, Cedric and Shelton can get involved. I don't think MVP's going to be there. He might have had some sort of surgery on his leg at some point. That's up in the air, but, you know, he's clearly not been around.
I also don't know, like, the protocol. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I doubt that he would be there either. So
yeah.
He's been off TV for a bit.
I'm going to go with Goldberg. He is also the betting favorite at the moment. So,
makes sense.
Yeah. RK-Bro against Styles and Omos. This one's kind of a toss-up.
Could go either way.
Yeah,
it could go either way.
I don't know. Eventually,
I'll say RK-Bro for the sake of it.
Eventually, you're going to get to Randy against Riddle, right? Like, that's kind of what this is all going for.
Well, they could stretch that out till the Rumble.
Yeah.
I mean, where is the Rumble again?
That's
right,
true.
Down the block from us. By the way, we got our tickets. Hopefully you'll be there too.
Yes, we did.
Rumble's in St. Louis. Randy's in St. Louis. They could easily pull something out there too.
I'm
just saying.
Randy, who becomes the company's top babyface when he's in St. Louis?
Randy gets good reactions everywhere, which is actually kind of hilarious when you consider his
trajectory. That's the thing, and I think
trajectory.
I talked about it with SummerSlam. Yeah. Like, I was surprised, because I've only seen him here. He's obviously going to get good reactions here. Like, I've probably seen him somewhere else, too, but I don't really remember, like,
yeah.
You know, Rosemont, he's not getting huge reactions.
Well, now he is.
Yeah.
Again, but, people love him.
I mean, I'd like to see AJ and Omos win, just because I like them more than I like Randy and Riddle, but...
I get it.
You know.
It's a toss-up, though.
Yeah.
Definitely a toss-up.
Edge against Seth Rollins in a Hell in a Cell match. Listen. Do you want to
talk
really
about... It really pisses me off that this is, like, the best possible Cell match when it comes to using the actual gimmick for a feud that actually begets it. But we've now had 8 cell matches within the last calendar year. Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
That's my thought on this. Thanks, but fuck off. Like, you actually did something right for once, but it comes at the end of just gratuitous nonsense with the cell, so it means nothing to me. And that sucks, because I genuinely like cell matches that have those kinds of stakes, that have those kinds of blood rivalries, and now I can't give a fuck about it because you've done 8 cell matches within a year.
Well,
fuck off, kill the gimmick for a year, and bring it back in 2023 if we're still around.
And there's the problem with gimmick pay-per-views, too, which we've talked
it
about.
Is.
Like,
it is, yeah.
You know, we've talked about it at length, where you can just have it be, you know, have your gimmick pay-per-views be...
Why don't you just have them be under a different name and just sneak them in every single year? You don't have to just...
And that's something we talked about, too. Like, Bad Blood had Hell in a Cell matches, I think, every year pretty much that it existed, for the most part. You know, the first one was there.
All
and then...
three of them did, yeah. 03, 04, and 97. They all had Hell in a Cell matches.
Yeah.
And then they always had it in 05, in June of 05 at Vengeance. And then they fucked around with it in 06 and 07, but, like, still.
Yeah, like, just make a few.
You did them once a year anyway. Why did you need to do it at a pay-per-view?
Yeah.
You don't need to be like, oh, we need to tell our audience when this is happening. Dude. No, you don't. You really, truly don't. Just have them be for feud-specific situations.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Yeah. Do you have a pick for a winner?
Edge.
Edge is the betting favorite, so...
Well, Edge is the babyface here, and he's got to get his revenge on Seth.
Yeah.
By the way, I know you don't like him. Seth is generational. He just is.
It's not that I don't like it. It's more complicated than that. It's a whole... it's a whole thing. Like, it's not as simple as I don't like him, let's move on to Becky. No, actually, let's not. Let's move on to Big E and Drew McIntyre, because that one's easier to figure out. Yeah,
E.
I mean.
Actually, I think the triple threat's easier to figure out, too. That's just me.
Well, here's the thing about the triple threat, and we'll get into that right now. Technically, only one of these people is on SmackDown, and it's the one with the longest odds to win the match, which I think is funny. Because Sasha's the only one technically on SmackDown after Thursday.
But again, here's the easy thing you can do. I know this is... but they did, and they already set the precedent by doing this last year.
Here's the thing about the title
Swap
switch.
The titles.
I don't like that.
I don't care if you don't like it. They're going to do it.
It's just lazy. I mean,
I don't care if it's lazy. Who cares? The best idea might be the laziest one. Big whoop. What are you going to do? What is having Sasha be champion again do? What? For what? I'm sorry, but for what?
Appease her so she doesn't leave again.
But, like, seriously, but, like, we need to have Sasha be champion already with Charlotte. Like, I already know that they're going to do that at the Rumble, which, by the way, I have no problem with that. Get that done so you don't have the temptation to do it again later. I have no problem with the two feuding. I have no problem with the two wrestling. It's been like 4 years since they've actually had a proper feud, and like 2 since they've had a one-on-one match. Do that, but like, just do the title swap. Becky doesn't need to lose at this point. She doesn't. Do the title swap. Keep it going with Becky and Bianca along however long you want to, or whatever the hell, and just go. Who cares? Do it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I saw that one guy earlier be like, oh, they're going to do a title unification match. And you know what you do?
Fuck no.
Here's the thing. You know what happens if you do a title unification match? You know what you need to do then? Create another title for the women for the mid-card. So you're right back where you
Where you fucking started. And again, you don't need that to happen.
Like, do I think there should just be one main...